Hello and welcome to our final league preview of this week, which is the Premier League of Bosnia and Herzegovina. We will have, of course, the next league after this one is Montenegro, which will, of course, come at some point next week. And then it just leaves the Ipko Superliga Kosovo's. I will be avoiding doing one on Macedonian league purely from, I think, but I entirely honestly, I haven't kept up to date with it enough over the past 12 months to be able to sit and say it with any confidence as to what will go on this season. For the Bosnian League, I mean, it is a bit of an interesting one this season, for reasons of nonsense. What other reasons would you have in Balkans? But I think, you know, as much as we probably spent about 10 minutes at the start of the Serbian episode talking about the administrative issues that had unveiled themselves over the past season slash summer, you have to very much do the same with what's gone on in their northern neighbour. Now, the reason for that is because, obviously, towards the end of last season, there were allegations with regards to the integrity of refereeing in the league, which came from a lot of sides and were directed towards what was perceived to be some favourable refereeing towards the team that ended up winning the league, Borac Banja Luka. Now, as far as I'm aware, not anything has necessarily come forward to say, you know, that there's masses of evidence behind those allegations. And note I say evidence rather than credence. But, you know, those suspicions do remain. And certainly, you know, if you spent your time watching some of the games towards the end of last season, you know, I'm not just talking about the games from Borac, but also, you know, some games we saw refereed of Sarajevo's, that there were weird things happening, and that in the nicest way possible, some of those weird things would certainly give you reason to believe that things weren't quite entirely on the level. One of the fallouts of that was that Olympic Sarajevo, a fortnight before the league was going to end, just straight up quit it. Now, they would likely have been relegated anyway, but that they quit the league means they ensured themselves their own relegation. Now, if in the league, the bottom two would have been relegated, which would have been, as the season ended, Olympic, you know, obviously for reasons just covered, and Radnik Bielina. The problem is that we have, firstly, Krupa, who were relegated automatically. Now, they finished 10th, and they didn't receive a license to play in the league this season. Now, that was due to financial issues, basically. And while that one perhaps wasn't too controversial, the forced relegation of Mladost Doboj Kanja with what claimed to be licensing issues was something that created a stir. Now, the reason is because when we say they didn't meet licensing regulations, it's probably worth going into a little bit more and just being a bit specific about what those issues were. It was that the ground didn't have floodlighting, which seems quite a strange thing to actually have in the first place in 2021, a ground without floodlights, but they did. Now, they were in the process of sorting that out, specifically arranging a ground share with Šelik Zenica to play any night games there, so that, you know, they were able to meet the licensing guidelines with the arrangement for them to help share grounds with them at Billion Apollier. Now, while they're in the middle of this, the FA just turn around and say, no, jog on, and boot them out of the league. That is probably an abridged version of what's, you know, probably a far more complex issue. But you know, the result, whatever level of complexity you want to get into about the licensing system in the country, is the same. Mladost Dvojka Kanye are not in the top tier this season. And that has a big impact on the rest of the league. Not least for Radnik, who, you know, should have been relegated on merit, but remain in it this season. But more because, you know, Mladost were ninth. But not only were they ninth, they had a pretty good team. You know, see, we covered in our HNL episode a couple of days ago that Amir Hidros has gone to Osijek. And, you know, he looked like he's really hit the ground running there in terms of how he's considered by Nene Blitz and the coaching staff there. And, you know, as we'll see throughout, the resulting exodus that has come from the relegation of Mladost is something that's going to unbalance the league in terms of where that talent has gone and who has got the best deals of it. Yeah, because there are still, you know, good players left at Mladost, but most of them have gone. In fact, actually, I was just checking on my phone the future of one of the last good ones, Nedim Hadzic, who has moved to Slaven Belupo just today. So that is something I will be praising on social media, because he proved himself to be a very good striker last season, and probably is actually maybe a better player already than the lower tiers of the INL. But we have to talk about the actual league itself, as it is going to be this year. So I should just state three teams have come up: Leotard, HK Posusie, and Ruda Priedo. And all of them will hope to stay up in what's going to be a bit of a weird season. We will start with the champions, Borats. And they, see, have already begun their season with what was an extra time defeat in the Champions League. But, you know, while that necessarily doesn't bode well, you know, that was over CFR Cluj. And, you know, Cluj, as we know, are, you know, regulars at this point in group stages of European competitions. You know, a really tight loss over the piece to them is of great credit to Borats, particularly as, you know, in the first leg, they didn't look too great. You know, the width, the wide options, you know, as it was then, Zilikic and Zakaric didn't work very well. Zilikic has since left and gone up to Olimpia Ljubljana, very good signing, and apparently a very surprisingly big fee. You know, the foundation of the squad is still there. They brought in, I think probably your name will know, Ante Sivkovic, who used to play for Alumni in Slovenia, you know, has a very, very solid record there, and brings a bit more youth to the team. Another one also coming in is our first Mladost Exodus cohort, which is Amar Begic, who was one of the central midfielders. Now, he was someone that sort of I had we'd actually looked at in a bit more detail as to his qualities, because I say, as soon as I knew that Mladost were relegated, it was immediately called for me to go and research players and to find out who would be a player you might want to see in a bigger league. Begic was, to me, one of those. You know, I think he definitely showed enough last season to suggest he, you know, deserved to be at the remain at the level he was in, you know, in terms of bringing the ball forward. from a defensive and a progressive perspective, he's not necessarily the best passer in the world. In the percentile rank of the season, his accuracy was only 7. It was 7, so certainly far below the league average. But, you know, when you get into the ball to feet, progressing the ball forward, getting the ball into the penalty area, you know, for a player whose pass accuracy is extremely, is comparatively low, that his XA and XG manages to still be at the league average is, you know, is quite impressive. It's certainly sort of overperforming what the more detailed stats would suggest. So I certainly think he's someone who can really provide a bonus to them this year. Obviously, the main challenges to them will be FK Sarajevo. But I think we caveat that with Sarajevo aren't necessarily in the best financial state. I don't think there's any immediate concerns, but there has been a withdrawal of some investment from the club. Basically, if you're not aware, most of their funding and ownership comes from Southeast Asia through a couple of people, one of whom, of course, is Vincent Tan. He's still there, but someone else has gone. We have seen players go. Vladan Kovacevic in goals has gone, for under $500,000, not a massive deal by any means. You've got Jasmin Masanovic, Aleksandar Pejovic, Hrvoje Milicevic, and you will probably see Matthias Fanimo depart as well. I know he was linked with a move to Bulgaria for approaching £1 million. I think it's to Ludogorets. Don't believe anything has moved on that at this point, but you know, certainly it sort of gives you the indication that it's the potential that others will be going from the club. In spite of that, they still have a strong side. They still are capable of winning the title. And had their spring not gone extremely poorly, they entered it miles clear. It's clear they could build a lead in the league and build it over half a season, maybe even 2/3 of a season. It's about hitting that home stretch and sealing the deal, which I think it was surprising that they didn't last season. But I think part of the reason is what we mentioned at the top of this particular episode. There were accusations being thrown around as to integrity, and Sarajevo were one of those clubs throwing around those allegations. And whatever your opinion on those allegations, that there being said, can't help but have some sort of impact on the team. We mentioned next their Sarajevo rivals, Zelyesnikar. Now, Zelyo had just a nightmare season last season. They got through plenty of managers. They won on the final day of a Krupa. Now, that was 30th of May. That was their first win since the 2nd of December. And even when you throw in a winter break in there, it's pretty hard to suggest that there's very much positive you can take from a run of nearly 6 months without a win that saw them from second go all the way down to seventh. The squad has been torn up. There hasn't been too much come in to replace it. And I would be concerned with them that as things stand, if you're going to say that seventh was their level last season, well, this looks a team that's weaker. And, I think quite aside from looking to restore themselves to glory, they may really be challenged to actually restore themselves to mid-table based on the side they've got. They really need to stop the bleeding big time. One side who won't be worried about that will be Veles Mostar. Now, obviously, they're back in Europe, which, let's be quite honest, is where they belong. If we're talking from a timeline perspective, yes, we do talk about timelines and stuff on this podcast still. Veles Mostar, are an exceptional club. Throughout the Yugoslav era, they were consistently one of the very best sides in the nation and doing it on a continental stage as well as a domestic stage. This season, they are back in Europe, playing Colorain who knocked out Maribor last season. They won the first leg last week, held at Gibovica, obviously Zelenski and Cars Ground, and won that 2-1. So, you know, there are certainly high hopes they'll be able to get themselves through into the second qualifying round of the Europa Conference League. But, you know, more to the point, they are good in terms of what they've brought in. You know, they've brought in Jenan Zajmovic, he's very much a proven player at this level, and they've been able to bring back Faisal Mulic on loan, who is a very, a quite literally big help for them up front. He is about 6'9", and built more like he belongs in WWE than playing for anything in any other sport. They will look to be, I think, best of the rest. And I don't really have too many doubts that they'll be back in Europe next time, because, you know, the team was already good enough to do that last season. It is certainly a better outfit this time round. And, you know, I think if we were talking about dark horses, Veles would be the team there for me. Their rivals in Mostar, the squatters at their ground, dare I say, of course, Srinski, they have gone into the exodus from Mladost with Anes Vazda. But I think one of possibly their best acquisition, maybe Mario Kostovski, who's come in from Akademia Pandev after a good season in Macedonia last year. And one of the players I think people will be possibly familiar of from the higher now and low levels of that is Carlo Kamina. I think probably his biggest part, I think, was at Sibalia. Staying around that particular region, Soroka Brieg have gone to high NL for talent. Tony Kalega, I think he's probably the most well-known of the players that they brought in, ex-Lokomotiva kid, and one who, you know, so I think probably would have hoped he had maybe a slightly more starry career than he's had so far. This is certainly a hit of the reset button for him, and quite a good chance as well. But obviously they've also had Stipe Juric, who's gone out to Vuč, to the Ekstraklasa. So it probably is a little weaker than last season, not massively so, but a little bit behind. When it comes to the best business done in the league, then I'm going to go with Tuzla City. Primarily for bringing back to the league Suleiman Kirpic. Now, Kirpic has a very good record at Zvezdnikar. And, okay, he tends to move clubs pretty much every window. But I think he's a statement signing. You know, he's someone who could have gone back to Zvezdnikar. I'm sure they could afford him. And, you know, you're on the eternal stage then. But going to Tuzla City, you know, to me, that's the statement that says, you know, well we want to be playing in that particular ballpark of reputation. But not just that, I think from a developmental perspective, you know, they have we'll have him paired up front with Elvis Mihanovic, and you know, being able to put up against a quality striker is something where he's going to pick his game up and build his game from. And it makes sense from a short-term perspective in terms of performing this season, and I think a longer-term perspective as well in terms of developing the attackers at the club and, you know, potentially making some money for them down the line. But they're not very good at the back, and that will be their Achilles heel very much so the whole season through. It will be reliant on scoring more than others rather than keeping players out. For Sloboda, yeah, I think the business is headlined by keeping Amir Beganovic, who is, you know, probably the best fullback left in the league, and already is probably better than this league. They are short on numbers, but I think we'll probably find there won't be any issues this season. Which leaves with the probable bottom four. Radnik, obviously should have been relegated last season had things been down solely to merit. They are no better and no worse than last season. Have Posušje. Now, they I've probably done the best work of the promoted sides over the summer. Tino Laos is a better recruit from the second league in Croatia than a lot that have come into the league this summer. And bringing in guys like Luka Lukic and Nikola Leko, who comes in from Illuminati as well, one of the multiple players from Illuminati returning to the Premier League this season. You know, they've got players with experience at this level and above this level, because with all due respect, Slovenia is above this level. They should be pretty safe based on what they've got if they can hit the ground running. Ruda have picked up players from Krupa, obviously to leave due to their financial issues. And I think I will mention one of their Brazilians, Clarice Mario. It does actually look like a good player, I have to say. We'll see if they are able to bring a bit of Samba spirit to the league this season. I think that you know they probably have done a bit more than Leotard, who haven't done really anything. And, you know, with the greatest of respect to them, they probably are going to be pretty much cannon fodder this season, and that's not meant in a disrespectful way at all, but they are the team that's come in based on, you know, not just having benefited from Mladost, but you know they were 9 points off Ruda in the Pierre Liga Republika Srpska last season. You know, they weren't, you know, Ruda and Potosie won their regions of the first league pretty convincingly. And as such, Leotard, therefore, you know, already from have a bit of a handicap over those two sides. But not only that, you know, for Mladost's relegation, you know, it came in later than obviously Krupa and Olympic. And as a result of that, you know, when you're coming up to a league, as I'm sure any team that's had this issue before would know, you need that time. You know, if you come the 2 weeks that Leite have probably lost in time because of the licensing issues for Mladost and the time that decision took, it probably works out as like 2 months in terms of the amount of preparation you're able to actually get in, because ultimately, you know, for scouts and analysts and coaches, you know, they're doing their work based on 2-3 windows ahead. You cannot just flick a switch and turn from looking at being a second-tier side to a first-tier side just like that. You know, it's a real big amount of work they'll have to throw out of the window, and it's hard to see how they're going to be able to cope with that. I mean, based on how last season went, we could probably class this as a successful season if every club finished the season. You know, it's not like they did last season. You know, obviously, we're 3 down on administrative reasons rather than merit reasons, and that is, you know, it's got to be a bit of an embarrassment for the league, really. And what we're seeing across the league is that there are financial issues, of course, there are from COVID. There are budgets that have been slashed. You know, we've seen sales go out. Zilikic from Borac is obviously one. The goalkeeping situation from Kovacevic in Sarajevo. You know, these are, you know, the jewels of the league being sold. And, you know, there will still be a bit of bad blood from the refereeing issues from last season, and you know there's naturally bad blood from any period of exceptionally weird form such as Zelio had, and you know even Sarajevo had in the spring. You know, Borac and Sarajevo will start as favorites because there are so many question marks around other sides. I do think Velez can potentially get themselves involved in there, and absolutely love to see it. But you know, if you compare this to where we were at the start of last season or the season before, this is a weaker edition of the league than we've had for a little while. And it kicks off this weekend. So I'm sure for once I've actually probably managed to do one of these previews and not sound extremely excited about the prospect of it kicking off. And this is a little bit of a shorter episode as well, because, you know, I don't think it's in the best state, the league, unfortunately. It does kick off tomorrow. So that's Friday night, 7 o'clock UK time, with Radnik taking on Leotard in possibly the most low-key fixture you could ever imagine starting off a league season, really. I think probably certainly watch out for the Monday game between Sarajevo and Tuzla City. That could be one which, you know, given the attacking qualities of Tuzla we've talked about in this episode, it could be one where it starts the season off with a bit of a bang. Let's hope so. And let's hope, you know, obviously for positive results in the Conference League this evening. You know, Soroki Brieg, a 3-1 up over Vilasnia. So that should be a fairly easy job to finish off for them. But as obviously lead Coleraine just 2-1, and it's legs in second legs in Northern Ireland. We'll certainly see with that. That one might be a bit close. And Sarajevo host Milsami. Now that's 0-0 after the first leg. Discredit, I think I watched quite a bit of Moldovan football, and Milsami aren't much, so I would expect Sarajevo to get through. If they don't, I think that probably would be a harbinger of what of the season to come, and it maybe mean that any Sarajevo fans listening may want to watch it from behind the sofa. So thank you very much for listening to the if you listen to all four, thank you. You're even more than very much. That's an incredible feat of endurance, as much as anything, listening to my voice for you know, what's proven to be about 3 hours worth of stuff over the past week or so. As I say, we will have Montenegro next week. You weren't aware of just how they've gone on in Europe. Obviously, Budućnost were in the Champions League. They got knocked out 7-1 on aggregate by HJK Helsinki. We were able to actually watch the first leg live via the One Football app. So that was one way for me to spend a Tuesday evening instead of watching a European Championship semi-final. Yes, I think that probably shows you that while we've possibly not talked about the strongest league in the region in talking about Bosnia and Herzegovina today, the two we have to come, Azerbaijan, Montenegro and Kosovo. Kosovo starting in towards the end of August, actually. We have weaker leagues to touch on and further rabbit holes to go down. Thank you very much for listening. I will catch you next time.